Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
Welcome into the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. I'm Martin Weiss, joined with my buddy Will Blackman. As you said earlier, cheers, mate, from across the pond. You know, it's all different hours of the day and night compared to me. I'm in the morning. It's nighttime over there. How's your day been so far? Because you're living
you mean,
a full day.
You mean how the day go?
Exactly.
How did the day go? The day was great. I had a couple, you know, had my production meeting with Sky Sports out here. We did a pod this morning. I went to the gym and I did something extremely dangerous, man. I tried CrossFit.
How did it go?
I'll tell you what. That's a whole sport in itself. That is a whole sport. I'm big on, like, I respect the movement, but that's some dangerous stuff, bro. That is some dangerous stuff. At one point, I thought my back was going to go out. And I said, I see why people come here and get messed up. I see why average Joes go in there and get absolutely obliterated. I see why that every CrossFit gym, there is a chiropractor living next door that is strategically placed there for that reason, man. So, I mean, I burned about 1,000 calories, but man, I got to be careful with that, bro.
Yeah, no, I CrossFitted once or twice, and it felt very much like I'm in, like, my old high school basketball workouts. Like, I'm like, yo, I don't think I should have warmed up to work out for this. Like, I needed to ease up into here.
I already warmed up. I already ran like a mile. I did a whole, like, prehab routine. And then, you know, because once you get tired, you start losing form. And then, you know, things go. And oh, yeah. And then I went to my barber, boy. Like, oh, Martin, hey, they chopping out here, dog. All right,
I'm about to say that you got that type of haircut across the pond.
they chopping out here, bro.
You have a British barber, or did you bring your barber?
Yeah,
to Britain?
Yeah. No, I got
to
no,
Britain,
dude out
to
here.
England.
There's a dude in London. Yep.
I guess that shouldn't be as surprising as it should be. I know, you know what? The fact that you were able to get a crispy haircut in London is less surprising than watching some of these roughing the passer calls that we've seen over the last two days of football.
I'm trying to tell you.
Between Grady Jarrett and then Chris Jones on Monday night. I mean, and everybody's going to the should roughing the passer be reviewable. I don't know if I want more reviews, but I do know this. We have got to stop with the overreaction from week to week to week about calling penalties in the NFL. It seems to me
that's how people are.
That is the bigger issue than anything else.
That's how people are, man. That's Twitter for you, man. They get so emotional with anything and everything. I mean, you might as well. If the game goes longer, then so be it. So people can, like, be quiet and shut up about it. You know, especially when it's a judgment call that has a huge impact. You know, if there's something that there's a call that can be an automatic first down or a 15-yard penalty, like, for that type of that huge gap, like DPI is spot of the foul. Like, those should be reviewable, like the ones that have big outcomes. Now, false start, all those little things, you know, whatever it is, no. But the large penalties, those should be reviewable.
I mean, I just – here's
you agree?
My
That's
thing.
Cool. Appreciate it.
No, I don't, because it's like should roughing the passer be reviewable? I think that they would review both of those penalties that the one Grady Jarrett's and Chris Jones's, and maybe Chris Jones's gets overturned because he had forced a fumble beforehand, but he fell with his body weight came on and hit Derek Carr. You know it. The way that Grady Jarrett slung Tom Brady down, it was very similar to the way that Tua was slung down. The issue is there's nothing else they can do. This is a violent sport. It's like, you know, trying to it feels like these roughing the passer, you can't hit them high, you can't hit them low, you got to avoid this, avoid that.
You got to do what Max Crosby did. Max hugged Mahomes at one point.
And that's essentially where ostensibly because that's Arthur Smith after the game. He goes, how can I coach? What do I coach, basically? You know, he's like, I'm not blaming the refs. The refs threw the flag, whatever. What do I coach to ensure that I don't get penalized? And it seems as if Max Crosby, you know, that was a harbinger of things to come where we're just going to be bear hugging guys. Good luck with, you know, the Josh Allens of the world when you try to bear hug him, right? Because he's bigger than you and stronger. Like,
No. I'm glad you mentioned Josh because I would say that the refs call it depending on who the quarterback is. Okay. Brady is 75 years old and is Tom Brady. So for him to get slung to the ground, it's like, I'm sure there's emphasis on that. Now, Josh Allen, he's looking for contact. When Cam Newton ran, he's looking for contact. Sure. I mean, Lamar Jackson, he is running the ball, like getting busy. So the mobile quarterbacks, or even, you know, Jalen Hurts, he got smoked one time. So maybe the refs do pull back because they know what type of quarterback that they're dealing with. So I would say it's based on that, you know, when you brought up Josh Allen. But I hear you on that in terms of like what do we do? Like, how do we coach it? Like, how do we go about trying to not get penalized for these things? If it keeps changing every single time, every single week, it's a judgmental call, you know, and I'm sure the emphasis was there in terms of throwing the quarterback. Because, yeah, you can't land on him. So people are throwing him to the side. And then, right, Tua got thrown too hard. So now I'm sure the referees had a meeting about emphasizing about throwing the quarterback. So it's like, I don't know, man.
Like you said, start hugging him. I feel like, and I understand that public perception and so on, you don't want to just go out and say this, but it's like drilling for oil. There is no environmentally safe way to drill for oil. There are ways you can do it that are safer for the environment. But the act itself is bad for the environment. But we're all going to get in our cars and we're all going to drive them. You know what I'm saying? We're going to hope that there's no oil spills. Football is dangerous. There are things you can do to make it less dangerous. But the fact that we are playing the game, people are going to have concussions. People are going to break bones because people are going to sprain things and tear things. It's a byproduct of the game that you play, of the game that we watch and we all love. And the sooner that we can get behind it, the sooner that maybe we can stop doing it. Like, we can all see what happened to Tua and say, that's terrible. We need to adjust the concussion protocol, make sure that guys who have concussions are actually out of the game, and make sure that if you receive a concussion in the game, you get out of there. And then, you're monitored and so on. Take all of those steps to ensure that that is okay. But like, changing the rules of the game essentially is going to just change the game entirely, and we're not going to have the game that we watch and love. And maybe that's
like you said,
if you really want to avoid concussions, that's the way to do it. Quit playing football.
Well, like you said, we watch the game, and the highest paid of the quarterbacks, the people are watching to see these quarterbacks. Tickets are sold because of these quarterbacks. So the game is protecting the quarterbacks. There you have it.
Yeah, well, you know, you better be careful cutting off your nose to spite your face, because eventually the game that you're protecting the quarterbacks for is not going to be the same game. It's just like we said.
The game's going to be just fine, Martin. It already adjusted, and people are still enjoying the game. It adjusted a ton. And we had one of the best games ever last year between the Bills and the Chiefs. That's not a segue. We'll get to that soon.
Yeah, we'll get to that soon. Just a moment. We will get to that Bills Chiefs game soon. But speaking of a game that was an absolute banger and somebody who wasn't having much fun, the Chiefs and the Raiders, Devontae Adams walking off the field, you know, shoves the guy who's, you know, everybody wants to make sure that he was at work. He was working. He was a credential worker. Yeah, he wasn't just a fan.
He's an employee.
Yeah, but everybody was like, he is a CW, credentialed worker, right? So, you know, yeah, that happened after the refs overturned his catch, non-catch that would have set up for the Carson field goal, after Josh McDaniels decides to go for two instead of tying the game, after Patrick Mahomes leads a big comeback, which came after the Raiders jumped out to an early lead in the game. So what's your take on Devontae Adams and this shove?
Yeah, my whole thing with the shove is he's dead wrong. Okay, I get it. He's pissed off. He's walking to the locker room. You know, he's walking with his head down. Dude looks up and he just pushes the dude. And that was like a legit push. I wasn't like, oh, watch out. That was like a legit push. Like, get out of my. It was a get out of my way push. Straight up. There's no doubt in it. But That's what happened. And then after that, he realized what he did and sent out an apology. I know people are like, he should have turned around and helped him up. But he was already so far gone that he was willing to push the dude. Now, I'm never in a situation where I'm going to like justify what somebody did. Like I said, Davante Adams was dead wrong. Now, I can understand where people are coming from, whether I agree with it or not, because he was in a different state of mind. You know, when people are irrational, they do different things. And that is just across the board, point blank, what it is. Devontae is known for being a stand-up guy, a gentleman, you know, a consummate pro. Once in a while, you're going to lose it. And unfortunately, this was the situation that happened to him. And unfortunately, you know, the guy ended up pressing charges. And as of now, he is getting charged with a misdemeanor assault. So my thing is, I'm not overly crazy about it. Like, I like to have fun. I'm always joking around on social media. I love my sense of humor, and that's just me. I'm not going to go on there and be overly crazy and debate and argue about it. I was laughing. Like I said, they're both in the wrong. He should have seen Davante when he walked across, and Davante should have seen him. So they're both wrong. And people just went off, and which is fine. But like, I don't care, dude. Like,
I actually fault the camera guy or the sound guy more, a lot more than a lot of people do here. As someone who has been a credentialed worker on sidelines, yo, get the hell out of the way of the talent. Like, seriously, bro. I'm not Davante Adams. Let me preface it. Davante Adams should not have put two hands on that man and shoved him in that way.
You can't preface it. Listen, preface it or not, people are not going to like it. So,
but no, I prefaced it. Look, when you are working, like when you're working and there's other people around you at their job who are making millions of dollars and your job is to like help the production of that, get the hell out the way. Okay? Get the hell out the way. Just move. Like, move. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Let him go by. Just wait
for him to go past. What are you doing?
He probably tried to run by quickly so we can get an image of him walking in, and he happened to just time it up really wrong.
Well, you know, that's because your job ain't timing. Your job is getting the sound. So don't, you know what I'm saying, move out the way. I mean, and then the thing about it, other thing is, you're pressing charges, sell it a little bit more. You got
to
think
that he's pressing charges because everyone's like, you need to press charges. You need to press charges.
I understand that. But what you got to do, you have to understand. See, my man didn't have no awareness of what's going on.
He didn't let go of the equipment either. He should have thrown it and flopped.
Exactly.
He should have been like,
think about the audience that's watching this. Think about the audience that's watching this.
That's what he should have been.
Well, I mean, we've seen all types of concussions. This is football. We are disproving people's whether or not they have concussions or not because they didn't go into the fencing posture. If I'm that guy, I'm acting like I got fouled in the NBA game. I'm going down like the sniper hit me. Okay. Like I'm out. And don't help me up. I'm staying down here until Davante Adams leaves the stadium. Okay. Like
if you intentionally cross paths on purpose, he didn't know he's going to get shoved. That's why he didn't have time to react.
See, that's why he needs to have his awareness up. You on the NFL sideline, bro. You got to be ready. You see?
No, he was in the tunnel.
Well, you know what? There are some. Hey, and I just want to say, take this moment out to say shout out to all the camera people and the sound people that actually are paying attention. And when the play comes their way, they run out of the way. Every so often you see like I get it. The line, the judge.
No, there are some that are entitled. There are a lot of cameramen that feel entitled.
Hey, and you know what happens? Exactly. You end up getting hit because you know what happens? The people are there to see, you didn't get the hell out the way. Now,
when Rodman fell and kicked that cameraman, did that guy press charges?
I don't know. Who knows? Probably. But to me, I don't fault the guy for pressing charges. I was Davante Adams. I'm going to need your game check for that one. I'm sorry, bro. Like, I get it. I shouldn't have been here, but you messed up worse. So I'm going to get that check. But I just as an aside, because guess what else? Guess what's not happening most of the time? Most of the time, Davante Adams shoving you or whoever's shoving you as a credentialed worker on site, whatever talent pushes you down or moves you out the way, it's not on national television, so you don't get a bag. All you get is fired because you were in the
way. I'm not pressing charges, man.
Well, but I didn't have an NFL career. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't matter. No. I'm saying if I'm that dude, I'm not pressing charges. He didn't. And Devontae did not. He didn't seek me out.
I would say this though.
I got caught in a storm.
Well, in all seriousness, if the guy was really hurt, then I don't know. Let's figure something out.
Yeah, like he reports really him hurt. Going to the hospital and checking out stuff. Like,
If he's actually hurt, if he's actually hurt,
right? If he has like medical expenses and he really broke an arm or something like that, then I get
figure
it.
That out.
But if he just fell on his butt and got a little bruised, like we'll find out.
Which is all the more reason why you gotta sell it. Stay down. Make the refs call a foul. This guy needs to take some notes from LeBron. The basketball season's around the corner. We'll get ready.
Oh, my God.
But, so I asked you this a couple weeks ago, and the question is still the
you
same.
You know what's so funny? What's that? Literally thought you were about to read an ad. You said, basketball's around the corner, so get ready. I'm like, no. I thought it was a read.
Nah, man, I don't have. We'll take a break in just a minute, and then everybody can hear all the Caesar's phone lines. But before we take that quick break, I want to know, is the break in Dak's thumb going to cost him his job? Because I'm hearing from people who have like intelligent football opinions, right? Not just like, you know, your average Joe on Twitter, but people who really like go out here and do this on a regular basis, that the Cowboys need to stick with Cooper Rush until he loses a game. And I'm not talking about Dave Dameshek. He falls into the first category I'm talking about, the non-intelligent football category.
I'll tell you what. Right now, Dallas is playing some good football. Like, just solid, not trying to do anything crazy. No crazy, like, huge plays on offense. Like, they're just playing good, solid football. Offensively, they're featuring both backs. Like, that's what they should have been doing. That's when they were at their best. When they got Pollard and Zeke doing their thing, both getting like, you know, 15 carries, like just taking over, controlling the whole game. And then defensively, I mean, they're playing lights out. Micah is absolutely unstoppable. They're just playing good. And then special teams going out there scoring touchdowns, like just all three phases are doing well for Dallas. And so they just have tons of balance. And it's going to be interesting because They don't need, like, Dak can go out there and, you know, have a couple of games where he'll throw for like 400 to 500, but that's not what they need. They need the balance. That's how this team is built. Run the ball and play some legit defense. So, I mean, honestly, it's kind of, I look at it like that. Like, right now, the team is winning. Like, right now, they are. That's
all right. I would just wait. You're on the Cowboys right now. You've seen everything. You're in practices and all of that. You're sitting there happy that Cooper Rush is. It looks like Dak. Like if Dak never starts another game for the Cowboys, Cooper Rush starts out.
I might have the Tom Brady Dak on this one.
I might have to tell Drew
Bledsoe, like, hold on, man. It's hard to go like immediately. Like if it was just one game, but it's been like a bunch. And right now, there's so much momentum, and what they have right now is going pretty good.
So, if you just said, though, is it the whole reason that you have a franchise quarterback? And so when things aren't going well, that franchise quarterback can solve the problem and still get you a win? For example, Monday night, you're down, 20-0 or 17-0 after two bombs. You're going 3-and-out. Mahomes brings them back, right? Travis Kelce didn't have a big yardage-wise game. He's getting the ball to other guys to drive the ball down the field. Obviously, Kelce had the 4 touchdowns, but it was a group offensive effort led by Patrick Mahomes to get the Chiefs back into that game and eventually win it. You do that, and you pay a guy like Patrick Mahomes what you pay him because you believe that he can get that done for you, right? So, like, you're telling me that Dak Prescott can go out there, throw for a 300-400-yard game, and you say that with the intonation that Cooper Rush couldn't. So isn't that what you go get a Dak Prescott? Isn't that why you have a Dak Prescott? Is so that way, whenever things aren't rolling, you can win that game still? Like, I don't understand this logic from you and other people. Like, how, if Dak is, well, I don't get it.
Because I don't.
Is it like we're just gonna go with the guy that we know?
Because the jury is still out on Dak. The jury's still out. Like this, if there was one quarterback going into the season that had the most to prove, it is by far Dak Prescott. Not even close, because the jury is still out on him, despite him getting paid and despite him being, you know, the franchise QB. Like, the jury's still out, especially for Jerry to be straight up and be like, hey, I love a good QB controversy. I know he's saying it because he wants to be silly on camera, but for him to even like elude and say that, like, that's what, you know, if it was the other way, he would just straight up say, hey, when Dak's better, he's back at quarterback. Like, just say what it is versus like, I like a good, you know, quarterback controversy.
I mean,
but as a player, I really don't care because I'm winning right now. But as a coach, I would give Dak back his job as soon as he's ready, because now we know we got a backup quarterback who can do so, which to me, I think the backup quarterback is the second most important position in football, because stuff when stuff does hit the fan, you got to have somebody in there to come in and still produce and still be able to not give the ball up, run the offense, and try to win games. And that's what Cooper Rush is doing. So, yes, as a coach, I would give Dak back his job, and hopefully Dak can, you know, pick up exactly where the team left off.
It's just like, I wouldn't do anything different. I run it the exact same way. I think what the Cowboys have stumbled into their winning formula because of the limitations that they have at quarterback. They have found ways around. Like you said, they're running the ball 30 times a game. Zeke and Pollard are getting all these touches.
Which is what they should be doing.
Exactly. Which is what they should be doing. That's the strategy. So, like, now when you get Dak back in there, continue to try to do that. It's just, here's the thing. That strategy has worked for Dallas for four consecutive games. As you know, in this league, eventually somebody's going to blow it up. And it's just, when somebody blows it up, that's why you have Dak Prescott. And I've got one thing. Hold on. Another thing about this Cowboys team that I've been hearing, and I don't care for it too much. Michael Parsons is great. Okay. Incredible. I can't remember seeing guys on the offensive line jumping so frequently and being seeming so intimidated, it feels like, just by Michael Parsons' ability to rush the pass. But he has played off the top of my head right now, 20 NFL games. Can we stop saying Lawrence Taylor? Like, can he have five seasons before we call him Lawrence Taylor? Like, there are other pass rushers that we can go to besides, like, how about, like, maybe he's tracking to be an early Von Miller or something along those lines? Because, I mean, it's just like, it's like calling Joe Burrow Tom Brady because he went to the Super Bowl in his second year. Like,
Baby Brady.
See, you know what I'm finding out? You're part of the problem. That's what it is. You're part of the problem.
I'm not doing the whole Lawrence Taylor thing. I'm not doing that. Michael Parsons is generational talent. He is his own generational talent. He's not the next LT that was a different beast. He's not, you know, whoever, but he is, you know, already within 20 games is legit. Cause he found out already, like, these dudes don't want to block me and these dudes can't block me.
They have no, like, they, that's, they just, have that's no just, interest in blocking that dude.
No, that's just point blank period. You know, he had a little groin injury. He went out and only came in on third downs and still ruined the game by playing one down a series. It's been a while since we had a defensive MVP, and I think Lawrence Taylor was the last person to do so.
I'll say this. Micah Parsons is so far and away the Cowboys' most valuable player that it's laughable.
Oh, it's not even close. It's not even close. They get smacked, especially that Tampa game. They get blown out. Have Micah not destroyed them in the red zone every time they got down there.
But, you know, and we'll get into that Bills-Chiefs banger that you just talked about. But before we do that, let's take a quick break. Caesar, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now, yes, yours truly, the Lemon Pepper Parlay is a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And you know what it is that sets Caesars Sportsbook and Casino apart from the others? The perks. It's the only sports betting app with Caesars Rewards. So every time you place a bet, win or lose, you get reward credits, which you can then use towards game tickets, bonuses, experience, and free stays at the iconic Caesars destinations and more. And your very first bet
It's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congratulations. If you don't, you get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CAESARFULL, and go full Caesar this season. That's CZRFULL. Oh, and Caesars Sportsbook and Casino plays by the rules. They comply with all the legalities of the sports betting world. So here comes the lengthy, unabridged, national responsible gaming disclaimer.
Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-gambler.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. Ontario, visit connectsontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text connects to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Let's take a quick break.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, well, do we have the new Brady versus Manning coming up this week? Is this it? You know, we have the Bills and the Chiefs, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, the 13 seconds that ruined Buffalo seasons last year.
The year before.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, Mahomes and Allen, they've had some pretty impressive and exciting games. This one this Sunday is also trending to be a very exciting one as well.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely, this game's going to be dope. No question about it. Because the reason why I like the whole Brady and Manning comparison, because it is about the two quarterbacks. Sure, you got the Chiefs and the Bills, you know, battling. But these two quarterbacks are legit trying to outduel one another. Like, no matter what. Like, that's just what it is. And you just saw the look on Josh's face last year, and he's like, okay, like when next year comes around, like I'm not messing around with anybody. Clearly, he's taking it out on the entire league, and this is part of it. This game, I don't want to say he had this game like marked. He probably did, you know, because he wants to play them again. But this is kind of like the appetizer for the playoff game when they meet up again, and that's for sure what's going to happen. It reminds me of, I remember watching America's game, the 94-49ers. Mm-hmm. And Steve Young was like, it's just us and the Cowboys. Like, no one else in the conference matters. It's just us and the Cowboys. And that's it almost seems like what it is in the AFC. It's them two.
Bruh. I mean, I picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, they've had a decent year so far, some pretty epic collapses. But when I just look at the Bills and the Chiefs, it's just like, wow.
like early on, it's just like, man, it's going to have to be something catastrophic to one of these two teams for me to even be close to right.
Like, bro, Chiefs didn't miss a beat. They didn't miss a beat. No Tyreek. They didn't miss a beat.
I mean,
as long as you have Andy Reid, Mahomes, like it could be, and I'll throw Kelce in there too. It could be a revolving door of receivers. Just get some dudes that run 4.3s and just put them out there and make them go.
I mean, that's what it pretty much seems like right now. Because, I mean, if you told me, like, Ryan Tannehill, for example, was the quarterback for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Mecole Hardman, you'd be like, all right, congratulations on finishing third in your division.
That's the right? Titans, like, basically.
Yeah, it's like those names are not – like, those are not – it's not exactly Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens on either side over there. And I get that Travis Kelce's, you know, up there in terms of the greatest tight ends of all time. But he's still one man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, he's still one man. One he's man. Just one man. Yep.
He's just one man. No, it requires double teams or triple teams. And it's just.
Yeah, no, but that's legit. But everyone was worried about them struggling at wide receiver. And I'm literally saying, like, you can just – with what he can do, you can just plug in receivers. They usually just line up with a bunch of punt returners, and it's like, let's go. And they just scheme stuff up. And also, they're running the ball pretty well. They got, like, 10 running backs as well. O-line's doing great. Like, it's just right now, overall, man, the Chiefs are playing outstanding football. And there is something – it's funny. I watched the Mic'd Up with Patrick Mahomes, and he is nuts. Like, dude is legit. No, he's like legit crazy. Like, when he gets into that mode where he's like literally ticked off at everybody and he's like talking trash and he's getting all swaggy and doing all his antics, whatever. Like, that's a dangerous dude. That is dangerous. And same thing with Josh. Like, when he gets into that zone, you can see him. He almost looks like, you know, when Hulk Hogan was getting jumped again, about to pass out, and all of a sudden he starts breathing hard. See him get up. Like, that's what Josh looks like, man. So
just even on the field, you've seen Josh Allen throw a shoulder or two after a play, like, yo, you're gonna get the hell off.
Yeah, he got the stiff arm this year already.
And then who could forget Patrick Mahomes? The cameras caught him on the sideline. Andy Reid holding him back. You know, saying, I'm right here.
Yeah, I'm right here. Oh yeah. Let's go. This is gonna be this is the type of game where you just throw away the playbooks, man, and you just go. Like, let's just go.
Well, the Bills are 3-point favorites. Who do you Patrick Mahomes as an underdog? I mean, yeah,
I'm picking the Chiefs. Like, there's no question.
I'm about to say I'm going with the Chiefs too. I'm taking Mahomes in the points, but it's just like just on its face, you have the runaway train that is the Buffalo Bills. Fresh off being an NFL team by 35 points, right? Like, they just won by 35. And then,
and like I mentioned, right? Did I tell you that? I said they're about to beat the hell out of Steelers. Oh, it's not even going to be close.
I thought it would be a little respectable.
Not even.
Let's pick some more of these games. Like we said, we're both taking the Chiefs here, plus three. Let's pick some more of these games because we do have some good ones on the slate. The next best one. The aforementioned Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons go on to take the best team in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles.
The Cowboys knew what they were doing.
I mean,
they knew what
they were doing. Cowboys are 5-point dogs. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, hell, why not?
They should be the dogs, but still, it's like they know what they were doing. They make KC the dogs. They make Dallas the dogs. It's like, all right, you know, they want to motivate the team so we get some good games. But, of course, I'm taking Dallas for this one.
You have to remember what Mike McCarthy said. He's no damn underdog.
But guess what?
Right now you are, Mike. I was about to say, it's about the same point spread again, Mikey. This one, I'm going to have to wait to see the injury reports. If the Cowboys and Micah Parsons, as great as he's been, have been feasting on some pretty bad offensive lines. The Eagles, conversely, have one of the best offensive lines in football, if not the best.
They definitely have the deepest as well. Yeah, for sure.
So
they're just plugging and playing.
if I see that Mailata can go, then it might slide me all the way to Philly. Right now, I'm going to stay. I'll have a pick tomorrow on extra points because I have to pick this game before the injury reports are all the way solid. Right now, I'm leaning to the Eagles, though. But I say this: if the Eagles have offensive line injuries, the Cowboys will not only cover this game, they will win this game. Have you ever been on a team when the coach got fired?
Midseason? Nope. Mm-mm.
Because I'm just curious, because you have the Panthers. They are 10.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, I like that.
You do like that? I'm about to the Rams.
I like that.
First, because here's the big question. Who are the Rams to be laying double-digit points?
I'm saying. I like this one.
That offensive line that offense is atrocious. And Carolina's defense.
The whole team is atrocious.
The whole team is bad. Okay. I'm not sure.
The defense is what, 28? The offense is 30th? If you watch, here's the thing. Here's what's going on with the Rams. I turn on the tape, and it's literally like people mention like the Super Bowl hangover. Like it's legit. Whatever's going on there, it's almost like that being so close. You know, when they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, like trying to get back to it. You don't see that strain. You don't see that fight in these games where, like, you know what? Let me fill the gap so I can just make sure I protect this area. Let me make this tackle. Let me force this. Let me, you know, fight for one more extra yard. Let me run the right route. I just feel like overall this team is playing, you hate using the word, but they're playing super soft. You know, I seen a couple of players like go in instead of like boom hitting the lineman, they're just like, you know, kind of just showing in there and getting moved to the side. I mean, Debo's run is a big example right there of like, come on now, like, yeah, what are we doing here? So overall, with the exception of Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald, like them two are still playing lights out. Everyone on the team is not playing up to par, and they're playing extremely soft. You don't see any physical dominance from any player other than the two I mentioned. And that's a huge problem, especially when you are the defending champs. You have the target on your back. It's like, hey, they won a Super Bowl last year. Let's try to stomp these boys out. You know what I'm saying? And so every week, that's what they're dealing with. So that's a huge problem right now. That's why I like this right here in terms of Panthers being a 10-point dog. You know, you got a familiar face in Carolina and Steve Wilks coming back, taking over as the head man. Somebody who was wronged, you know, when he went to Arizona, and now he's coming back because he understands the whole mantra of like keep punting. He knows what it is. He knows what it looks like. He knows what it's supposed to be. And so I like them as the dog. I'm going to take those 10 points for sure, because the Rams, you got two teams who are trying to figure it out. The Rams know what it is, but I feel like the Rams eventually they need to go have one of those player only meetings and challenge one another. Until they have one of those, like, they're not going to figure it out, because no one's scared of them. No one's scared of these dudes. You got all these big names. No one really cares, man. They're running right through you. Especially if you're going to run the ball just like Dallas and San Fran did, it doesn't matter. So
then another thing that I've had good luck with this season specifically, the total in this game is 41 points on a 10.5-point spread, even if you just take the teams out of it. So if Vegas is pretty good at hitting these totals, right, whether it goes over or under is one thing, but you have, if it's 41, it's probably going to land but somewhere between 37 and 45, right? So you're looking at a final score, and again, how many games last week, Buffalo's Pittsburgh notwithstanding, do you see have more than a 20-point margin? There's not many when a game is over, right?
Right.
So we're looking at like if in order for the Rams to cover this final score, we're looking at 34 to 13. You know, I'm sorry, 24 to 13. You know, like. Do we think the Rams can approach 30 points? Because if that's the only way that they're going to hit this, they're going to have to score 24 to 34 points. And with the Panthers scoring, you know, touchdown, field goal, two touchdowns, something like that to cover, I don't see the Rams being able to move the ball like that. Now, I have zero faith in Carolina's offense, but oddly, more so now that PJ Walker is going to begin to start instead of Baker Mayfield. And that might just be because I've seen PJ Walker and I've bet heavily on XFL and AAF games, and I've seen that man get it done for your boy.
Right.
Former Houston Roughneck, PJ Walker.
Dude, I don't know, man. I just, like I said, I'm undecided. I can see the Rams just showing up and it's like, you know what? Like, they're coming to our hometown. Let's just
see.
You know, this could be a game for us to get back to where we need to be. We got a weak team coming in here who just lost their head coach. They can't figure out the identity. They're struggling at quarterback. But this also could be a dangerous game because you have a team that's like, we have nothing to lose, bro. We just lost our coach.
I think that's what it's like. You have the get right game for the Rams. And then you have like the dead cat bounce that you see where it's like, all right, wait. The coach got fired. I could get fired now. Let me go and get not quote unquote fired. You know what I'm saying? But it's like let me put on some tape.
Yeah, let me put on some good tape.
Exactly.
You know,
fresh off of the London debacle, the Green Bay Packers, they are laying 7. The New York Jets, the total's 46. I don't have no idea what to make of the Packers in that they feel like they're not a good team, especially offensively, rather, in terms of being able to just move the ball effectively. And then the Jets, I'm not buying into this. One of these New York teams is bad. You mean the Giants and the Jets are supposed to just have winning records in October? Like,
there really aren't like bad teams this year. Like, let's just clear that out the way. I think it's like across the board, like any team can win any single week. I think right now the playing field in terms of like the talent is pretty even. Sure, other teams have more stars and Pro Bowls than other, but I just feel like in terms of the depth and in terms of the ability, like there aren't really any bad teams.
So you said, I get it. You said there's a lot of good players in the NFL.
You're an idiot, dude.
I feel you. I agree.
I'm saying,
I also think saying the there way, are a lot I'm of good players the way, in the NFL.
The way these teams are constructed, because nowadays, you know, you don't have to pay the QB a ton of money when you draft them. So you have capital to build like other players, other position groups on the roster. And I feel like a lot of teams have been able to do that where they have more depth. Which is why I think now it's a playing field. It's almost like now in college football, you know, dudes aren't committing to the home team anymore. They're going wherever they want to go, or the transfer portal, or doing whatever. You know, I feel like just across the board like that, like you don't have every kid going to Miami or every kid going to Florida State or every kid going to USC. Oh, yeah, every kid is going to USC now. but, you know, but, you know, like stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? So. That's why I feel like right now across the board, like it's pretty even.
Well, is it even enough to where you're going to take the Jets and 7 points against Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back league MVP?
I mean, this is another opportunity for Green Bay to figure out, but I'm not sleeping on the Jets, man. I think I'm going to give the Jets for the points for sure.
I really liked what I saw out of Sauce Gardner last week.
I did too.
Forcing a safety like on the first play of the game.
Yeah,
intercepting Skylar Thompson after that, and what I really liked the most about him was before that game, he was like, "I can't wait for this game. This is the type of game that I was like, I'm in the pros for. I want to go against Tyreek Hill. I want to go against Jaylen Waddle." And what did he do? He balled out. You know, shout out to Detroit. So I'm going with Sauce. I'm going with Sauce and the Jets. I'm picking a lot of games off defense this week, it seems, but. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll add that lemon pepper parlay. I didn't hit my lemon pepper parlay last week, so I owe the listeners of this fine podcast something, and I'm planning on giving it to them right here. But first, I want to hear your lemon pepper parlay. What you got?
You know what's unfortunate is that we we pretty much covered most of it, except for one. So I got a lemon pepper parlay here. That's an all dog parlay. Okay.
Okay.
It's an all dog. We talked about two of them already. We talked about Carolina. I'm taking them with the points. Cowboys. But man, there's something about, you already teased them, the New York Giants, man. There's just, I just like what's going on. I'm afraid to like go against them. I like what's going on there. I'm not taking them for the money line, but I'm taking them for the points against the Ravens. I just like what they're doing, bro. It's in New York. It's a home game for them. They're coming off that crazy comeback. I literally was watching that game and I was like, okay, Green Bay is just smacking them and it's going to be a wrap. And all of a sudden they just figured out how to get back. After that first win, I was super convinced, like, okay, they got the right dude. And people were like, oh, you overreacted. I was like, man, I was like, look at the way like they're building that culture. I talked to TJ Jefferson. He was over there too. He was like, man, I just got here and they're building something special. This is a few weeks ago. So yeah, my lemon pepper parlay, all dog parlay, Panthers, Cowboys, Giants. Let's get some dough.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Cuban Link Wink Martindale now. He didn't have that chain. He didn't have that chain in Baltimore the same way. He got to New York and got up with Jacob's Jeweler and started getting some bling on. My lemon pepper parlay, I'm going to roll with the Cleveland Browns -3 against the Patriots. The Patriots, that's the third string quarterback, and it was the Lions last week. That's going to get rectified. I'm taking we said this last week that this was the best unit in football, the 49ers defense, but they've been dinged up a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and take the 5.5 points with the Falcons there. This makes me sick to my stomach, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers and the 8 points against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, I don't feel like they deserve to lay 8 points to anybody. And you know what? I'm really going to test the limits and stretches of anybody right here, right now. And I'm going with Kenny Pickett and the Steelers. Kenny Pickett has started 2 NFL games, and I will have bet on him twice. So good luck to me.
You're going to redeem yourself with that?
I don't know if I'm going to try my best to redeem myself with that. If, you know, listen, I could pick the Panthers. You know, I could pick the Panthers, but look, Will, I've had incredible luck with low totals and high spreads. Play the dog. It's again, how are they going to score? They're going to score. What's this final score going to be? 40-10? Like, I don't see that. I don't see it happening. I mean, you know what? It could be. Maybe this is the week the Buccaneers get right. Last week, I thought the Bills might have been in an overlooked spot. Turns out they were not. But you know what, Will? I can't overlook you and that haircut that you got over there in London.
Hey, your boy's out here clean. I'm trying to tell you, boy.
I'll be ready for next week. Maybe that's the issue. I need a haircut, and then maybe my picture.
Yeah, you haven't had one yet for the show. You have not had not one grooming anything. First of all, you just get on.
I did have hear, one. The first one.
You just hear, you know. Which, I mean, this is, you've been doing this before me, so I guess that's how it is. You know,
so
I'll just be the guy
together.
That comes fresh. I'll just come fresh.
You know what? Challenge accepted, Will Blackman. Challenge accepted.
I wore the festive like plain t-shirt. I try to, you know,
the festive plain t-shirt. Oh yeah, the festive plain t-shirt. I can tell. Yo, this is my favorite one for you know, sleeping or working out or you know.
This is the extra points. The festive plain Jane. I was trying to hold it down, man.
Like a great t-shirt, extra points edition. All right, everybody. Enjoy week 6.